Hi, this is Dr. Bud Pierce, and welcome to Oregon Crossroads, where we talk about everything and all matters and all issues, and we're interested in freedom and prosperity. And this is another segment on the coronavirus, which is obviously impacting our freedom and our prosperity in a major way. And again, I'm a practicing medical oncologist in the trenches of medicine as a cancer doctor. I got home last night about 9:30 or 10 from the hospital. I was back here at 6 a.m. That's just what I do, it's okay. But I really do feel what's happening in the practice of medicine, especially in our community. And so when I talk about issues, it's not about theory or what might happen or modeling, it is what is happening on the ground. And a lot has happened since last week's podcast in terms of public policy and changes in our society. I'm happy to report though on the medical side that last week as I described, how does it look, how does it feel, it still looks and feels okay. It really does look okay. We have many cancer patients who are undergoing cancer therapy that compromises their immune system. If the coronavirus was rapidly spreading and causing symptomatic disease, we would see it because our patients would call us, tell us they're sick. We would see them, we would notice they're sick, and we would hospitalize them, and a diagnosis of coronavirus infection would be made. Not seeing it as of yet. There's one patient, I don't know the nature of the patient's medical issues, but there's one patient with coronavirus at Salem Hospital. We were informed of that. So again, we're not seeing this explosion of symptomatic cases, which is a good thing. In the world today, we have approximately 140,000 cases of coronavirus and 5,000 deaths. Each one a tragedy, each one we want to prevent, but in the whole picture of things, again, does not look horrific. Now we have a pandemic, which means an infection started in one part of the world and is being spread throughout the entire world, and it's here. But again, pandemic does not mean lethality or how many people are going to succumb or be ill with the disease. It just means that it has spread. And again, it has spread to about 140,000 people, 5,000 deaths. Now, what we're seeing is interesting in the patient in the countries that are hardest hit. So in China, the Chinese and the world believes that the Chinese peak may have been reached already in terms of new cases, or at least symptomatic cases, and that now they have dozens of new cases reported daily, not hundreds or thousands. And again, this is important because it seems that the peak effect is already coming down. We see the same thing in South Korea, where yesterday, for the first time, more people were called cured of their disease than new cases. They still have a low 100 number of new cases coming in. So South Korea looks very good and encouraging. The rest of the world, frankly, looks encouraging, except for Italy and Iran. We don't know the nature of why we are having so much trouble there with the disease. The world should pour in resources and help, probably easier in Italy, less easy in Iran. And again, we hope that again, they soon reach their peak and that the cases start coming down. So again, that's where we are. Some other interesting developments in Oregon, maybe 30 cases so far, it looks like, have been confirmed, zero deaths. That looks very good. And again, overall, things are looking as if they are holding steady and maybe even improving. In terms of mortality and a couple other interesting bits of information, the German reported mortality is 0.2%, 2 per 1,000. If you look at their number of cases and number of reported deaths, again, very encouraging, realizing that currently we have no way to test people that have had the virus, have cleared the virus, and now have immunity. We don't have such testing. So we really can't measure the number of people who've been infected and who haven't gotten ill. So that's why there's a lot of uncertainty around the mortality basis. Is it 2 or 3%, which is what it looks like in America right now, when you look at our overall number of deaths to the number of cases, or is it much less because other people have had infection and you can't measure them? A fascinating article from The Lancet, it's one of the oldest medical journals. They looked at the initial American case of the coronavirus that went to China and got infected and then came back to America. And this person had many contacts, hundreds of contacts, before they were diagnosed and isolated or quarantined. And they followed those people for some weeks and measured their conversion to coronavirus positivity, zero. Not one person who had regular standard social contact from the person who was infected became coronavirus positive. The spouse became positive. And so you think about that with some high profile individuals that have recently become infected with the coronavirus. You think about basketball players, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. Rudy is the center, and the person right next to him in the locker room, Donovan Mitchell, both are testing positive in the NBA. Maybe that proximity. And you look at the Hanks, who are a couple in Australia now, and both of them have it. And then a wife of the Prime Minister of Canada. So very interesting. So it may be, and the hope is that kind of casual routine contact doesn't easily spread the virus. So that's the hope. That's the hope we have. Now we have models that say that's not true. Minimal contact, three people are infected for every one, going to spread rapidly throughout the world, give us a lot of trouble. Not certain. So the hope is, and some of this newer information, that maybe again, if we have our good hygiene and aren't too intimately involved or next door, constantly in contact with a person with coronavirus, that we in fact will not be infected, and that we won't get it from someone coughing in a room or someone contaminating a doorknob or such. So again, looking more hopeful. And again, we just have to play it out, and we have to see, we have to be vigilant. We have to prepare for the worst, but be hopeful for the best. Now let's talk about government policy. Our leaders have decided that restricting our freedom to travel and isolating us socially and preventing large groups of people from meeting is the appropriate public policy at this time. We should obey and follow our leadership. We elected them, we put them in the position of leadership, and we should follow their policy. We absolutely should. But time will tell if this is the right policy. Doing something is good, and doing the right thing is the correct thing, and doing something that hurts people is not good. Now, what are the downsides of the public policies of restricting travel and preventing people from gathering and telling people not to go out and engage in public business? Well, a huge consequence is the effect on the economy. That is not minor. And especially the small businesses, the ones that don't have a lot of reserve. And when you see bankruptcies and hardship financially and businesses being lost, you're gonna see a spike in depression and mental illness and suicides, and people that are under financial pressure and any kind of pressure get more cancer and heart disease and all these things. So what we're gonna do as citizens is we're gonna obey the law, follow the rules, and do what our leadership tells us, and then we're gonna see, was that the right policy? And we're gonna see that in the rearview mirror, but that's just how life is. You don't know when you're in the action if you're doing the right thing or if you're not doing the right thing. But we will judge our politicians. And if it looks like the response was wrong and more people were hurt by the public policy response and helped, then at the ballot box, people need to be voted out of office. And likewise, if it looks like it was the correct public policy, that's a positive to seeking re-election. Now, what the government does need to do clearly at this time, and I'm talking about the President of the United States, Governor of Oregon, the mayors of the cities, the county commissioners, is these policies that are put into place are very harmful, especially to small business. So if you're working for the government, you're gonna get paid whether you're there or not working at it, really. That's how the contracts read. If you're in medicine, you're okay. You're gonna have a job. I take care of sick people, and whether people are sick or well, I have a job because there's always sick people. But the small business, the caterers, the people like that, they need real relief. Not only do they need tax relief, they need cash infusions, they need support for their businesses, because if this thing, as soon as this goes away, and we're hoping it goes away in weeks and a few months and not 6 months or longer, then we need to get our economy going, we need to get back to work, we need to return to the America, the Oregon that we know and we love. And if businesses are lost, it's much harder to recover. And it's not fair to take the small businesses and not support them. I can assure you that the public employees will be okay through their union representation, that Intel and Nike and Facebook, they'll be great through their public affairs and their lobbying of government, and the small business is commonly forgotten. So I urge the governor, the mayors, the county commissioners, and the president of the United States to put out real small business relief. So in summary, it still looks okay in the trenches of medicine. Things are okay. We're paying attention. We're not seeing a huge spike in illness from the coronavirus. We're hopeful that it's not going to impact us in a horribly negative way, and that should be our hope, and we should still be cautious and optimistic. We should follow the recommendations of our leadership, their public policies, but again, I urge our officials in government to provide relief to the small businesses who really face not only economic harm, but physical harm from the result of the public policies. Thank you very much. I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.